In Proverbs 18:22, it says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and hath obtained favor from the Lord." So I know that all you men thank the Lord for your good wives that you found and God sent your way, and likewise I do also. We're going to be in Philippians tonight, just a short passage, not quite as long as today's, and we're going to look a little bit at each verse just for a short time. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and I've entitled the message, "Oh, Happy Day." That'll be a happy day, won't it, when we get to be with Jesus one day soon. I'm looking forward to that happy day. But first, if you'll bear with me, I'll have something a little bit on the humorous side again. I don't know, some of the kids in the military church, they look forward to me saying something a little bit humorous each time, and things just to, you know, get your mind opened up and ready to listen. Here's one today I have for you. I had that one this morning about the organist playing the piano. A pastor was walking down the street when he came upon a group of about a dozen boys, all of them between 10 and 12 years of age. The group had surrounded a dog. Concerned lest the boys were hurting the dog, he went over and asked, "What are you doing with that dog?" And one of the boys replied, "The dog is just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie, he will get to keep the dog." Of course, the pastor was taken back by that. He said, "You boys shouldn't be having a contest telling lies," he exclaimed. Then he went on, he launched into a 10-minute sermon against lying, beginning, "Don't you boys know it's a sin to lie?" And ending with, "Well, why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." There was dead silence for about a minute. Just as the pastor was beginning to think he'd gotten through to them, the smallest boy gave it a deep sigh and said, "All right, give him the dog." He had told the biggest lie, I guess. We'll look at the scripture now, get on course here where we need to be. And we'll look at Philippians, a wonderful passage that you're all familiar with. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening. It's good to be back in your house again. Thank you for this dear church family here, First Baptist Church. Thank you for their faithfulness to the Word of God and their faithfulness to missionaries. They support several missionaries, Lord, and thank you for giving Pastor McFarland and the deacons wisdom and things about who they should support and how they should support them. Thank you for the extra gifts they've given to us and I'm sure other missionaries many different times. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a evening where we have a praise to thee and singing. Thank you for the things that Debbie said and her testimony for the Lord and her salvation. Watch over our loved ones and friends and family. Many of us have sick ones who may have cancer or difficult things going on in their lives. Help them. Be with the children who are back in school now, that you would bless them and watch over them. Some go to school locally. Some are homeschooled. Be with the young ones who are going to college, the young college-age people. Bless them and give them safety as they go back to college soon. We thank you for the many blessings you give us. We pray for Pastor John and Vicki, that you bless them and draw Hannah and Emily unto thee. We thank you for all the good things you've done for this church and you're going to do, that souls would be saved and strengthened. We thank you now and pray that you just guide us and direct us. I bring a message, help me and guide my lips that I might say things that are right, that I might not stutter too much. And I just thank you that you love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. the old TV sitcom, Happy Day. Any ever watch that? Some of you aren't old enough to watch it. Happy Days. They seem to have some happy days, but maybe they weren't always happy as they appeared to be on that show. The last few years, we have witnessed many unhappy days in the land of the free and the brave. For those of us who are older, we long for a better day in our country, like the ones we grew up with in the late 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And even though those years had their flaws, many of us look back and are thankful for the many memories that we had growing up. I know some of you younger folks, teenagers and young kids, aren't able to remember some of those days, but I grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they certainly weren't perfect. A lot of conflicts and trials and troubles, but yet I was glad I grew up in those times. And we seemed to respect things more, and we looked to God more, didn't we, then, at those times? Well, how do we focus on renewed happy days in our personal lives, our family's lives, and our church lives, in our community and country lives? How do we get sort of refocused? Well, I mentioned this morning, we do need revival. Our own personal hearts need revival and be drawn closer to the Lord, but our country certainly needs revival. Whoever might be the next president, whoever that might be, and the Lord knows right now who it's going to be, they're not going to solve the problems of our country. Unless America repents of their sin and turns back to God, there's no solution for the problem. It's only trusting in Jesus that will help. We must be content with the lives that God has given us and make the best of every difficult and challenging life experiences. How do we maintain the joy and happiness that only the Lord can bring? Hebrews 13:5, you don't need to turn to that. I may have you turn to some other passages, but it says, let your matter of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or never forsake you. Isn't that a good promise? Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Be content with the things we have. America's the country is always wants more and more and more now. And just to be content with the basic things we have a lot to be thankful and grateful for. Being happy is a positive thing for you. And you should be thinking about how to build character traits and how to help in emotional needs. While joy is a true inner peace that only the Lord can give you through the true cleansing and forgiveness of sins by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm sure most of you here have trusted the Lord as your Savior. In Romans 5:1, it says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many of us have that peace in our heart, only in your heart. Well, Dr. Porter wrote God's Simple Plan of Salvation. He was a great leader in the Indianapolis area and other places as he was younger. But he used to say sometimes, you know, I remember him saying, I feel good in my soul today. Now, we can't trust our feelings for salvation, but our soul can feel good and we can have inner peace that only the Lord could get. Isn't it good to have an inner peace that you can't find anyplace else other than the Lord? Are you truly a happy person in your walk with the Lord? Here's a great hymn that correlates with our theme tonight, Oh Happy Day. I won't sing it for you, but Oh Happy Day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Then the chorus says, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Was that a happy day for you? How many ever years ago it might have been when Jesus washed your sins away? I trust it was. And I know if you know Christ as your Savior, you do consider it a happy day. Are you and I truly rejoicing daily in the truth that God has washed our sins away through his precious blood? Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that good to know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? He went to Calvary and paid a terrible price. God the Father had to turn his back on him. He couldn't look upon the sin that Jesus took. We can't comprehend that in our finite minds, but it's true. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we believe that his death, burial, and resurrection was personally for us, don't we? What does Paul tell us, about rejoicing in the Lord and having a real inner peace and happiness? Go to your scripture text now. We're going to try and look at each verse just a little bit. It says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Debbie reminded me, and I won't sing that little chorus. There's a little chorus that kids sing that. Rejoice in the Lord again, and and always, and rejoice in the Lord. We ought to rejoice in the Lord, shouldn't we? Every day we should find something to rejoice in. When you get up, thank the Lord for another day. I'm glad to be alive each day. I turned 75 in June, but now since I have this aphid trouble, I'm glad to get up and I can look at my watch. I have a Samsung watch, and it tells me if I'm in sinus rhythm or not. And if you ever become an aphid patient, which I hope you don't, that's very important that you stay in sinus rhythm. And so I'm glad when I get up every day, not only am I alive, but I can look at my watch and say, oh, great, I'm in sinus rhythm. So I can go on and have a good, normal day. Amen. What brings us to a place of rejoicing in our daily walk with the Lord? Well, what are some things? You would know them. Bible reading, Bible study, prayer and supplications, praise and worship. You know, it's good to read the Bible, and I try to read my Bible through every year, but our pastor, Dr. Jerry Hillenburg, at our home church, Hope Baptist Church in Annapolis, encourages us to study the Bible. Many times we read the Bible and keep doing that. That's what God wants us to do, but really study the Bible. Make some kind of plan or path of study that you can study the Bible every day and get some nuggets out of it that will help you through that day. We all face the humdrum things of life, don't we? Work, food preparation, travel, doctor visits, dentist appointments, cleaning the house, repetition of events, family struggles, sickness, discouragement, failures, and much more. Can we endure all these negative and routine items? By God's grace, you can. Dr. Forrester at Indiana Baptist College used to say that ladies are washing the dishes and keeping house. They should be praising the Lord and walk in the Spirit right there as they're doing that. And I'm sure many of you ladies do that. But we all have tasks to do and jobs to do and works to do or school work to do. So we ought to keep in the Spirit and keep a happy attitude in our heart, don't we? Shouldn't we? Paul teaches us in Thessalonians 5, 16, and 18. Let's turn there just a minute, if you would, please. Just three simple verses, and you probably know them by heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Amen. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is that a daily practice? We rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Well, how can I pray all the time? I think that really means, of course, that you would know, and Pastor John's probably mentioned before too, that you keep in an attitude of prayer. You could pray reading your bicycle or driving your car. But on those two things, keep your eyes open, please. But you can pray and be in an attitude of prayer all the time, where you're going. If you're walking in the woods or you're doing your homework, ask God to help you do your homework and all those kind of things that young kids might do. God help me do my chores at home and keep in an attitude of prayer. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Or do we have thankful hearts? Are we thankful for the good things and the bad things? Paul presents our peace from two perspectives. One, peace during troublesome circumstances. Now, we all have troublesome circumstances, don't we? We get news of a death in the family or a sickness of cancer or someone is really having financial troubles. And, of course, we can pray about that. And even though those things may be discouraging, we can look to the Lord and ask Him for help. And of course, we also should be preparing an environment of peace in your homes and in your lives. Have a peaceful environment in your homes. Now, I grew up in a probably what would be considered a dysfunctional home. I loved my mom and dad. They were hard workers. They all worked hard. But we didn't go to church often. And I didn't know the Lord at that time. But yet, I learned some things about life that were helpful. How to work hard. How to have a care for one another. But all of us have different backgrounds. Some of you have grown up in sweet Christians' homes, and you ought to thank the Lord for that. If you're living in a home now and mom and dad are guiding you in the things of the Lord, you ought to be really thankful about that and grateful. And I know you are. Paul says there in verse 5a, the first part of verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation implies respect for others and selflessness. Do you have that kind of frame of mind, that have respect for others and selflessness? Do things for your spouse, do things for your loved ones, do things that go out of the way to do some things for a neighbor sometimes. Sometimes that helps, doesn't it? You know, I just love to give. Do you like to give? I like to give at church, but I like to give to other people. Sometimes I've had a habit just to wanting to give something. I have these little pins. I know that sounds a little silly thing. Whoops, that's not the right one. I get these little zebra pins, and they're expandable. And at church, I've given a whole bunch of the deacons one of these because I just like them. They have a stylus on one end, which is nice to work on your computer, and then they expand and open up. But I've just given them out sometimes because I like to give. Do you like to give? Maybe you give something to somebody you like to give, and that's good. It's a good blessing. You can't outgive the Lord, that's for sure. Paul doesn't mention moderation in his writings very often. Titus 3:2, he says, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men." And then 5b, the second part of that verse 5 in chapter 4, "The Lord is at hand." Aren't you glad the Lord is at hand? Even though we can't see the Lord Jesus through our eyes, physical eyes, we can see him through the eyes of faith, can't we? I know when I first got saved, it was a great experience. I was about 20 years old, a little older, and I told you this morning how I got saved at a revival meeting in Charleston, South Carolina, and I began to look at the Lord and think about the Lord on the cross and how he died for our sins and how he suffered for you and me. And we need to focus or refocus maybe on that thing that Jesus died. He's at hand. To me, this is a comforting thought. No matter what the difficulty, the Lord is near to help. Psalm 46:1. You don't need to turn to it, but it's a good verse. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble." Now, let's look at verses 6 and 7, please, in our passage tonight. "Be careful for nothing." Don't worry about things. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Aren't those wonderful verses? Don't be anxious about things. Be careful for nothing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path, that tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Are you and I daily rejoicing in the truth of God's word? Then we see don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Prayer should be the channel to go to God through Jesus with thanksgiving on behalf of our needs and the needs of others. I know you folks have a prayer list here at your church. Isn't it good to pray for those folks throughout the week? I feel encouraged. I pray for our list of church. I pray for several missionaries. When we were on deputation, I accumulated probably 100 missionary cards. And I try and rotate those on a nightly basis and pray for each one of those as I can. Now, some of them, it's funny, you see some of the missionary cards, their cards, the kids were just real little. And we've had those cards for 20 years, and now some of their kids are grown and off to college and maybe married. But we need to pray for one another. Don't worry about things. Psalm 55:22. Maybe you've memorized this verse. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Why worry? That's a good thought. I got a little chorus for you, and maybe you've heard it before. This morning I mentioned Dr. John R. Rice, and I think he either wrote this chorus or had it in his publications. Or it's "Why worry? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?" Now, you could all sing that, couldn't you? Sing it with me. I'll make sure everybody's awake, all right? It goes, why worry when you could pray? All right. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Amen. You've learned a new chorus tonight. You learned one this morning about the gospel, and now the one tonight here. Prayer. What is prayer? It's a request from a worshipful attitude. When you pray to the Lord in Jesus' name, you're making a petition to Him. I like the thing of just talking to God. That's what prayer is. I don't want to be in some kind of elaborate prayer that goes on with long prayers and things like that, but just talk to God. That's what we need to do, is just talk to Him. He knows our heart, doesn't He? He knows what's in our heart, and if our heart's right with Him, we could just talk to Him and expect Him to answer a prayer. Shouldn't we expect Him to answer prayer? We should, shouldn't we? And it's also a supplication, and that's a need that is presented to God in a personal way. In request would be specific concerns that you have. Don't you have some specific concerns in your life, in your family's life? Well, make some of those known to the Lord, too, and He'll hear, and He'll answer your prayer. Thanksgiving shapes our prayers with gratitude. Aren't you grateful about a lot of things? Debbie and I are grateful about a lot of things. God's been good to us. We live in a little apartment there on the southeast side of Indianapolis, and we're just grateful for what we have. And God's blessed us and met many needs. He's met us needs so many times. I don't know. I just think of one time we went to church, and believe me, I'm not expecting anybody to do this. It was in Missouri. And after church, we were on deputation, and our finances were a little low. And a guy came up to me after church, or shaking hands with people. He says, God's really been good to me, and I want to give you something. Well, he gave me an envelope, and I put it in my pocket. I figured it was some monetary value, you know. But we got in the car and got on our way to leave the church that day, opened that envelope before we got going, and there was 9 $100 bills in that. I guess God had really been good to him. I sort of question, well, where was the tenth one? You know, it could have been 1,000. Excuse me for being so selfish, but God is good, isn't He? I mean, it's wonderful how He meets your needs and how He helps us, even when we don't deserve it. In verse 7, if you look at that, the peace of God gives strength to the endure trying circumstances. The peace of God passes all our abilities to comprehend His marvelous grace and love. The comfort of the Lord quiets the fears of our heart and any troubling thought of our mind. If you will now turn to a familiar passage, let's read those verses. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, please. Matthew 11, I know you're familiar with them, but we'll take a look at those. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't those wonderful verses that the Lord Jesus gave? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke is, of course, if you think of oxen pulling a yoke. His yoke is easy. You know, the old yoke we were under with the devil, that was hard, wasn't it? It was a hard yoke, but now we have an easy yoke, and His burden is light. An old man was asked what robbed him of joy most in his lifetime. He replied, things that never happened. That's what robbed him of his joy in his lifetime most, things that never even happened. We get stressed about something we think is going to happen and never even happens. Someone has cited these three keys to happiness. One, fret not. He loves you. John 13, 1. I'll let you look at that passage sometime. Faint not. He holds you. Psalm 139, 10. And then fear not. He keeps you. Psalm 121, 5. So fret not, faint not, fear not. Verse number 8 now. There in our passage, back to our passage in Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I enjoy trying to memorize verses. This has been a hard one for me to get. There's six things in her, and I wrote them on the board up here. I don't know, you won't be able to see them. I'm going to ask Brother John sometime if he'll get a transparent pulpit. He probably won't, but we had one for a while at Hope. Now we're back to the wooden one. There was some conflicts with video because it glared a lot. But Pastor Hillenburg had a transparent pulpit. You could see right through it. Like earlier, we couldn't see the brother and his daughter playing, because of where we were sitting. I'm not complaining, but we couldn't. And then like right now, some of you won't be able to see this. It's probably too far away anyway, but I wrote those six words on it. And I just, you know, we need to think on these things. In trying to memorize this verse, Paul tells us, think on these things, whatever true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Now, if we thought on those things all the time, we wouldn't probably have any sinful problems, wouldn't we? Now, we're still sinners, and we do things that are wrong and sinful. But if we would really think on those things, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report, we'd be in a lot better position to walk with the Lord and to talk with the Lord, I think. So think on that verse. That's a good verse. If we were to think on these things, our thoughts would be wholesome and clear. Listen to Psalm 19:14, if you would, please. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. And then verse 9. I'll read those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, Paul tells us we need to think on these things which you've learned through your Bible study and prayer and things and received and heard at church in your Sunday school classes. You have good Sunday school classes here for all ages, and that's a wonderful thing. Praise God that you have that, and the ability to have good teachers and to teach lessons for each age. The last part of verse 8 tells us to be sure to give our whole heart praise unto God. Here I go, another song. Can you bear one more little song? Okay. Debbie and I love working with children, and we have a whole bunch of visualized songs. Matter of fact, the song we sang this morning, the gospel, we have it, but it's just completely wore out. So I tried to make a shorter edition of it this morning and bring it to you so we could sing it together and try and learn it. But here's a song, and I think, brother, we talked about it this morning, Brother Gary. He knew his sister worked in CEF in Indiana. And Brother Al Platty was a state director for years. Child evangelism had a wonderful work in Indiana for years and still does. And Brother Platty, I think he was responsible for writing this song. And we had a little flip page chorus with him. And it's about praise the Lord. Do you like to praise the Lord? Here's a new song you can sing in praise the Lord. I'll praise the Lord in the morning. I'll praise the Lord until noon. I'll praise the Lord until eventide. Ends my praises too soon. I'll praise the Lord every minute till life is over, and then I'll enter the gates of glory and begin all over again. Okay, that's a song you could sing around the house, isn't it? Praise the Lord in the morning, praise the Lord until noon, praise the Lord until in the eventide, ends my praises too soon. All right, that's another little chorus. Okay, I promise you I'm through singing for the night, all right? Verse 9, look at that, allows us to know that we have Christ as our Savior. In verse 9 there, and dwell on the thoughts that would please him, and will possess the peace of God that passes all understanding. We mentioned earlier how many of us long for happy days, not the TV sitcom that was on, but we do long for happy days. We're prepared to go to heaven, and we're looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker, as the old preachers used to say. And I am longing to go to heaven, but I'm not going right away. At least I don't think so. If the rapture came right now, now we would be going right away. But we need to plan for the future, like it's 100 years till Jesus comes. But with all the signs and the things we see today, it doesn't seem like it's going to be 100 years. It might not even be 100 days. But we need to think about the happy days of knowing Christ. We can't live in the past. Sometimes older folks like myself, we like to live in the past. Well, I remember when I went to McDonald's and hamburger was only 15 cents and the milkshake was 15 cents and the French fries were 15 cents. And that's true. That was true. But we can't live in the past like that, don't you? My dear sister, I love her, but every time she goes to the store, she complains about prices. Well, they used to be this and used to be that. Now, I try and be patient with her and listen to her, but there is some truth to that, but we can't get back to those kind of happy days, so to speak, can we? The days of yesteryears are gone, and we must go forth in the strength and power of the Lord. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's a good verse, isn't it? We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. For those of us who remember the days of our youth, we truly remember things that we admired and cherished about the United States of America. So I'm going to look back just a little bit here for us older folks, all right? I have a pastor friend in Indianapolis. He's retired from his church now. He was at the Thompson Road Baptist Church for 40 years. And he does a wonderful job on a blog that he has. He has a blog, and it comes out about 5 days a week. I can't tell you exactly how to get on it, but his name is Dr. Tony Slutz, S-L-U-T-Z, and he has a blog. And the other day, he had this on there. He had some wise comments to consider about the USA. He says, as Americans, we have known God in times past, but now it seems though we have forgotten him. Well, we could agree with that, couldn't we? Same things that we have known in America, he says. We've known a day in America when every preacher of the gospel believed that the Bible was the word of God, but not today. We've known a day in America when every seminary professor believed in the virgin birth of Christ, but not today. We've known a day in America when in every public school you could find a copy of the word of God, and when it was more common to hear it read than not, but not today. We've known a day in America when murderers were executed for their crime and when mothers were not afraid to stroll through the public parks with their babies and when pornography and homosexuality were words that most of us could not spell, much less speak about. We've known a day in America when, because Bible morality ruled, a man's word was his honor. We've known a day in America when men elected to public office were basically honest men whose number one interest was America and life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness for all. We've known a day in America when mothers felt that rearing children and ruling as queen in the home was the highest calling under heaven known to women, but not so much today. We've known a day in America when children were expected to obey their parents, respect elders, and render honor to their teachers. And many of you children here, I'm sure, do that today. But in the general public of America, there's no real respect like there should be today. We've known a day in America when to hear the Star-Spangled Banner carrying Old Glory would bring goosebumps to the back of our necks while we stood at attention. We've known a day in America when Sunday was considered a holy day, when stores did not traffic in all sorts of merchandise, and when people thought it more important to attend church worship services than to attend everything else under the sun. We lived in a day back then when a dollar would buy more than a loaf of bread. Yes, we've known these days in America, but we certainly cannot say that all is well today in our beloved motherland. And we all know that. I'm not telling you anything new. Well, how can we make it better? Well, I think we can make it better by having joy in our Christian lives and showing joy to other people around us. They might think, well, he's different. Why is he or she different? Because they have the peace and joy of the Lord in their hearts. Freedom's torch is not burning as brightly as it once was. Somehow we have forgot along the way that what we sow, we shall also reap. You don't need to turn to it, but Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then how about Proverbs 14:34? It's a good verse for us to think about as Americans in a country. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's sin that's a problem, isn't it? It's sin that destroys goodness and destroys homes, destroys lives. It's sin that's destroying America. And you mentioned sin today in the public platform, and oh, don't say that. There's no such thing as sin, but there is. And I'm glad that Jesus had the victory over sin, aren't you? Isaiah reminds us, the children of the Israel, and us too, Isaiah 1:18, each one of us, he says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, I'm going to end this message tonight, and we'll have a word of invitation. And I'll ask Brother Gary, if you do your part again, that would be wonderful. Here's our last verse for the day. We're thinking about happiness, aren't we? Are you happy tonight? Are you happy in the Lord? Are you happy that he loves you and knows you and cares for you? How about this verse, Psalm 144:15? Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Are you happy in the Lord? Is God your Lord? In Psalm 31:14 says, but I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And it's true that he wants to be our God. He wants to be our Savior. He sent his Son for that very purpose, to die for your sins and my sins, and was buried and rose again. That's the gospel we talked about, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you now this closing evening. We thank you for your blessings and goodness. Thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you for these good verses in Philippians 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We're glad you're at hand tonight, Lord. Work in our hearts. Maybe there's someone that might need to come forward to some burden on their heart and come to the altar and pray. I'm not sure of that, but it could be possible. Maybe somebody has let some sin creep in their life and they're not really happy in the Lord like they once were. Maybe they might come to the altar and tell the brother up here, would you pray for me? Would you help me? I need some help in my spiritual life. Lord, and there's someone here today that maybe is not saved. I pray that they would come to the altar tonight and tell Brother Gary or another worker here that they need to receive Christ as their Savior. Have your way in the invitation song in time. In Jesus' name, amen.